purpose of committee budget priority discussion on House Bill 5071, the Treasurer of the State of Oregon, House Bill 5001, the Board of Accountancy, Senate Bill 5528, the Board of Tax Practitioners, and House Bill 5012, the Construction Contractors Board. And I'm going to ask our legislative fiscal staff if he has any guidance or wisdom before we head out doing this.
Madam Chair, none except we have, this is the opportunity to rank these either high, medium, or low against what I had passed around to you last week was exactly what the agency's rankings were. It's a fairly high level, and this is the first step in prioritizing these budgets. Each of these, I should point out, are other funded agencies. Three of them are self-sustaining licensing boards or self-supporting licensing boards, and one of them, the Treasurer's Office, of course, is other funded out of its funding comes from fees for services to other state agencies or off of the earnings of the investments that it manages. Modest GF impact, but none that we would directly realize from elimination of any program. So with that,
okay. One other, we have four budgets to go through this morning, which means we will have a half an hour per budget. And as I understand it, the agency people are here as staff resources, and that generally the discussion should be among the committee members to try to reach consensus with respect to how the agency has prioritized these to see if our ranking coincides with the agencies. And this will occur throughout the remainder of this week, resulting in us transmitting the information to the co-chairs in anticipation of the co-chairs' budget on April the 4th. So with that, I guess we will proceed ahead. I would suggest that we do them in the order of the agenda and start with House Bill 5071, the Treasurer's Office. And I would ask the Treasurer's staff to come up and just be available so we can get your names into the records if you don't mind coming and sitting up here should there be any questions. I think Dallas was correct in saying that this was fairly high level, particularly in comparison with some of the other budgets that we're doing that have enormous detail by program. And you will, I think, have ranked your five at an extremely high level rather than going down into a programmatic level just to show you what we're talking about. This is ODOT's at a considerable level of programmatic detail. So I would propose that we begin with the committee's response to the prioritization. And I don't know how to do this. I'm perfectly amenable to taking suggestions from you all. But I would submit to you that in my ranking, I had five highs.
Madam Chair, I had five highs.
Great.
I have five highs.
Well, I had two prefatory questions.
Fire away, Representative Mavakia.
One of them was, it's easy to come up with five highs, or unless you want to compare each of these five amongst each other and rank them amongst each other. And then...
Thank you. We've just to bring our colleagues up to date, Representative Krupp is late. Representative Smith is detained by a traffic accident, and the rest of us are present and accounted for. We're starting with the Treasurer's budget and do them in the order of Treasurer, Board of Accountancy, Board of Tax Practitioners, and the Construction Contractors Board.
But if these are just in comparison to all the other things that were within their budget, then it's easy to say these are five highs. So I guess my question is, what is the high versus low versus medium in comparison to? Follow me?
I do, and I can only answer from my own experience in trying to do some of the other budgets. When you got to a level of programmatic detail such as that offered by ODOT, and I'm not saying this in a critical way, I'm just doing it in a comparative way, it was very easy and tempting to dig down into a level of micromanagement and into a level of agency business that I'm not sure is really advisable for the committee to do. I had made little notes in a couple of these that some more programmatic detail might be instructive. However, given that these are other funds' budgets, and I think the committees have been urged not to be micromanaging at a very, very, very low programmatic level, I'm not sure what value it would serve to dig into the programmatic level. And I guess I would just invite a response from the treasurer's staff, and if you wouldn't mind, state your name for the record so that the Anne-Marie can get it.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. Linda Hagwin, Deputy State Treasurer, and with me, John Kraft, Director of Strategic Services. Actually, I would agree that with your ranking of these being five high, and looking into the detail of them, we could go into some detail if you would rather. They are programs that are very hard to parse out subcomponents of them as compared to, for instance, the ODOT budget, and still have them be functional.
I don't feel
Senator Morris.
Madam Chair, I'm comfortable in moving on. I think spending time prioritizing beyond the presentation that we have would be fruitless. What I look for is, you know, are there any glaring deficiencies in an agency or opportunities for improvement somewhere along the line that we haven't talked about? I don't sense that. I think it's a well-run agency, and I'm ready to move on.
Representative Avakian agrees. Senator Morissette?
Yes.
Well, and I would join you with the possible additional request for information that I continue to be very interested in the Oregon growth account. And I think perhaps I could go back and refresh my memory by simply looking at your presentation materials. But any additional information that you could provide with respect to the program sub-areas in that I don't even know how you divide it down. Lyndon, maybe you could help me. It's been an area that I haven't understood, and I have talked to Ms. Richardson repeatedly about it. There are pieces of that program that I simply don't understand. What all is being managed by outside investment managers, and how many accounts are in that area of your portfolio? I just have had for the last two sessions a very hard time getting my arms around what goes on there. And I guess what instructs my question is that we keep having these conversations last session and again this session about the need for Oregon to be involved in the knowledge economy and technology, and in struggling to try to find where's an appropriate place for that business activity to reside. I don't know enough to form an opinion about whether or not that would be appropriately handled in the treasurer's office. And I guess I'm trying to get a fuller spectrum of all of the activities that you all are engaged in with respect to investments around technology, funding any startups, doing any bridge financing, bringing technology or technological innovations to market. I'm just looking for a greater depth of detail in that area.
If it'd be appropriate, Madam Chair, could we follow up with that?
I'd like that if you would. And again, to give it to the professional staff, and it'll be distributed to the committee. But I think for today's purposes, you have heard agreement from the committee. And Dallas, unless you have anything more instructive for us, that we would thank you for being here today and let you get back to work. Any other comments before they depart?
Just to endorse, Madam Chair, your pursuit of more information in the Oregon Growth Account. My sense is that the statutory direction of that account is not consistent with finding financing for emerging companies that out of this valley of death process. And so I'd love to hear more about that.
I would agree with you, just to state that to help maybe instruct my request. And I've been awfully high level. If you want to call me and help me focus what it is that I need, I would welcome that rather than have you go off and try to. I'd rather have you help me come to the conclusion about what I need than go off guessing about what I need and wasting a lot of time.
I'd love to work with you to clarify that.
Great.
And to get the other answer, too.
The one other thing I would add is, in going through this exercise, I reminded myself of your performance measures. And I certainly came to the conclusion, and I would invite the comments of my colleagues, how thoughtful your performance measures are, how understandable they are, and the fact that they were norm referenced with some other national performance measures, I think was very helpful. Okay? There being no more comments, you now have propelled us 15 minutes ahead. Thank you very much. We will move then to House Bill 5001, the Board of Accountancy, and invite the representative to come up, introduce yourself for the record.
My name is Carol Zimmerman. I'm here representing the Board of Accountancy for Carol Reeves. She's not available today.
And if you would just state for the record, in what capacity are you here?
I'm here to answer any questions you might have that I can answer.
I'm sorry, are you a member of the board or part of the professional staff?
I am part of the staff. I'm the board investigator.
Thank you. All right, I would invite any comments from the committee. Representative Vazakian.
Second prefatory question. When we get to these that have that are all other fund, and they have their 10% reduction listed. I know we're just prioritizing at this point, but the reductions also come into my mind when I'm thinking in terms of prioritizing. We haven't had a discussion yet on why we would be asking for a reduction in a solely other fund entity. Dallas, do you look like you want to comment on that?
I'd be happy to, Madam Chair and members of the committee. We don't have a choice. It was passed into law in the 99 session that all agencies would, as part of their, present 10% reductions to the governor's budget. And then, in addition, I guess the chairs have said this is an across-the-board thing, so all agencies would present. That's about the only answer I can give you as far as a logical.
And I understand the need to present based on what the law says. But I think it isn't a bad idea to have some discussion of what that means for us with the way that we want to respond. Unless we see an agency that we think needs to decrease its scope or that needs to decrease its fees or can be more efficient in some other way, the reduction seems to have no place at all in our analysis.
Thank you, Representative Smith.
Thank you. With one possible exception, one of the budgets we'll see in the near future, there's money that's called Wagner-Peisner money, and those dollars are broken into multiple categories, and there are other funds, and there's the possibility for us to take a reduced amount, perhaps in one category, and beef up another area.
Right.
Both of them are classified as other funds.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Great. As a courtesy to our two colleagues who have joined us, I'm going to just hold the conversation about this in suspense for a moment and bring you up to date. We are taking the budgets in the order in which they appear on your agenda. We have just done the Treasury, and it was the consensus of the four of us that were here that we rated all of those activities as high, and we are joined by another 5 for 5 on highs. And Representative Krupp, if you care to comment how you rated them.
I would, Madam Chair. Thank you. I actually will diverge from your direction to say that I ranked banking as high. I ranked investments as high. I ranked debt management and short-term funding medium, and then I ranked a collateral pool at low. And the reason that I did that, my reasoning was simply that obviously the banking activities of the day-to-day state government are very, very high priority. And secondarily, investment return is also an incredibly high, has tremendous impact upon our budget in regards to public employees' retirement systems and our short-term money management. It also happens to be the investments, the largest portion of FTE in this agency at the same time. Not to say that any of these are not of very high importance, but I chose to rank them in my mind as what I thought was the highest importance and then reduce down from there. Debt management is not as critical in my mind as banking and investments. It is important, yes. If you had to make time choices, in my experience as a manager of various businesses, if I have to make time choices, debt management is typically, debt is a long-term issue. Short-term issues that demand more of your time, like cash flow, those types of issues. Investment strategies, investment analysis, that's ongoing. That's a daily activity. And so I just chose to rank debt management a little bit lower. Short-term fund, that's important, clearly. And I actually wrestled with that as to whether to make that equal to investment or not. And I chose to go ahead and drop it down one notch. And then, again, collateral pool, if I'm understanding that correctly, I thought that would be the least of the higher priority. So those are my reasonings, Madam Chair.
Thank you, and that'll give you an opportunity to have your comments on the record, so the to bring us completely up to date. five of us ranked all activities at a high. Representative Krupp has just made his case for why he included in his prioritization a low, medium, and high, and I think that's been captured for the purpose of the record. We've now moved on to the Board of Accountancy and Dallas.
I just realized I had forgotten something when I did this. And what's missing from this is their role in managing the college savings plan. I forgot to put it on this list, and I apologize. That was not listed here. That would be another line, and that is the 529 college savings plan. That one does not affect any state agencies. That's funded entirely out of the trust funds. So it's a statutory, that's a statutory one. But if you'd like to add that in, certainly. I apologize for not having it on here.
And Madam Chair, Dallas, how many FTE are associated with that?
Two.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And that, most of the money there is actually marketing. It is less in salaries and wages. It is marketing.
Any comments from the committee with respect to that activity that was left off of our sheet?
Gets a high as well.
All right. Representative Ivaki and high.
I have it listed as a lower.
Representative Krupp, lower, low. Representative Smith, high. Senator Morris, high. Senator Morsak, high. And I would be a high.
Thank you. I apologize for that.
Now we've concluded all of the administrative matters. Everybody's caught up. We're on the Board of Accountancy. The first question that was entertained in your absence was one posed by Representative Avakian, questioning why we were making any reductions in other funds agencies, and I think both of you were here for that discussion.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any other comments with respect to, we want to disclose our rankings at this point, or were there any other?
The only question I had,
Representative Smith.
I was going to say, the only question I had on this, and the one that will be following it, is we discussed at one point merging, and I don't know if that has any merit or not, but that was the one issue when I went back through my notes. Other than that, it seems like, from my perspective, from my view, the folks who are paying this fee seem to be content paying their fees, and they feel like they're well served.
Senator Morris.
That's the direction of discussion that I was going to suggest to take as well in terms of the next agency, tax practitioners. They have three basic functions, all of them. One is licensing, the other is examination and qualifications, and the other is compliance. And when you look at one agency that has listed as four FTEs, I think it's actually five, the tax practitioners, including the director, you have one administrator and four employees. That's pretty top heavy. If this was my business, I would say what would make sense to have one administrator, still have the functions the same, and everything below that administrator, administratively, I suspect, is pretty much back room to those that are affected, and have one administrator report to two boards.
I'm going
to figure out what you could do to blend these two together administratively, and they're in very similar fields.
I made the same notation, and I'm going to ask the professional staff to capture that. Dallas, just as another point of administration, given that this is the first time any of us, even experienced Ways and Means folks, have been through this particular permutation of the process, are you going to be reporting back to the co-chairs the findings that we're developing here? Or will they listen to the record? Or how will our comments about things that we want to have carried forward into the next phase be memorialized?
With your permission, Madam Chair, I would propose to graft a memo from you
Great.
To the each of these with a consensus prioritization,
mm-hmm.
and also a cover memo with certain of the capturing some of the points that were made.
Is that process agreeable to the committee by consensus?
It is, Madam Chair.
Okay, great. One of the points that I raised was in working this and reflecting back on the presentation, I was quite surprised at the item 3 that you call board support and the amount of money involved with board support, and I think I was looking for a little additional detail on what all qualified as board support. You title it in your description as minimum activities necessary to support all board programs, but absent that deeper level of detail, I wasn't sure that I knew or could recall from the agency presentation what all programs were included in that, and if there was a mechanism by which you could get that back to the that breakdown back to the professional staff for phase 2, that would be very helpful. I mean, I'm making the assumption just looking at this, and I know these are rather gross numbers, but your exam and licensing, which seem to be the core of the agency, is only twice as much as the board support, and so I was interested in knowing what all went into the board support line item. Any other comments from the committee?
Madam Chair, I also thought that was an interesting expenditure given 1.33 FTE in board support. So I've had noted that in my mind also.
Good. Senator Morissette.
Well, under board support, there's one item that I don't think should be reduced particularly, and that's the reduced use of computer consultants, simply because you're going to get further behind if we do that. I think it's something that is ever-changing, and we need to stay on top of it.
Okay. Any other comments from the committee? Representative
Crow. Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. In Senator Moore said in regards to the statement you just made, there are potential savings within computer consulting. Believe it or not, there are state employees who are very capable that work for the state today that can actually accomplish a lot of the consulting work. Believe it or not, I never thought I would say this as a capitalist, but there are actually state employees in the software code writing business specifically that can save us tenfold in what it would cost us to go outside of the agency. And I would urge us to look at utilizing those assets. In fact, some of them, sadly, I have reported being laid off. And it's a shame that we cannot use them to greater extent to actually save dollars within state government. And unfortunately, it doesn't appear that we're doing so.
Senator Morissette.
Well, that's interesting, and I would agree. I was more concerned with the function, I guess, as you know, in terms of instead of who's doing it. But if we have people that we can have do a better job for less, I think we should move in that direction and save some.
Good.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Babakian?
I would add, just because we're creating a record, I don't... I see value in keeping the two boards that we've talked about, the tax practitioners and accountancy, separate. I'm not sure that they have the same mission, and even though there are two directors, these directors have to be familiar with the various administrative rules and statutes that apply, and in my opinion, that is probably a full-time job for both. I think it's good for us to look at, as the board mentioned, but I just wanted to put my concern to the record. And I'll go ahead and give my bid if you're moving into priorities right now, if that's okay.
Please.
Because it's a consumer protection entity, they would all be listed as high, with one exception on how I would, I guess, construe the rankings. On board support, I initially put it down as a low, not because I don't think it's important, but in a funding sense, this is an agency that's carrying an 11-month ending balance, almost three-quarters, $750,000, almost three-quarters of what its entire budget is. So in a funding sense, given the constraints we have, I would think that that would be a lower priority on the funding, and that they could take advantage of the $750,000 they have in the bank to offset some of these continuing expenses.
Alice.
I'm chair members of the committee. When we hear this board's budget, also there's a fee bill. There was a fee increase or a fee change that was made administratively during the session, and they have to come back and get it ratified with a bill. And you'll be able to discuss that with that bill also. So I think it dovetails with your issue about the ending balance. This has been a concern, I know, with ourselves and budget management with a number of biennium years ago.
I wouldn't characterize for myself this as a concern. And in fact, I think it's probably very smart budgeting on the board's part, that in the absence of a larger rainy day fund for the state, that they have found a way to buffer tough times. This just may be one of those tough times when agencies need to dip into those reserve accounts.
Any other comments from the committee?
Madam Chair, are we sharing our rankings?
We are, sir.
Okay. I rank examine licensing as high for the obvious reasons, and compliance and enforcement as high. I think the two go hand in glove. And I reduced board support to a medium level.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Ivaki, you want to share your rankings?
Well, high and low for board support, just for the reason that I stated earlier.
Representative Smith.
High, medium.
Okay, Senator Morris, high, and medium. And Senator Morissette will get when he comes back in. And I was a high, and a medium. Medium minus, because I really needed the additional information about what it was.
So we can do pluses and minuses?
Well,
okay.
This parses it down to a fairly well. All right.
It wasn't readily obvious when you look at the distribution of activities in their org charts as to what goes into board support.
Right. Okay, and so it's clear then what the committee will need in phase two, and if you could provide it or your agency could provide it to the professional staff, it is some additional breakdown in the line item number three, board support, so that we understand exactly what's in there, broken down by activity and dollar amount. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. In addition, I'd be curious to know what activities occur in the Board of Accountancy that do not occur in the tax practitioners.
Good. Okay.
That would hold true for the next one coming up.
Yep. Okay, any other comments with respect to the Board of Accountancy? Well, thank you for coming. Let you get back to work, and we'll move on now to the Board of Tax Practitioners.
I have high, medium.
Good morning.
Good morning. We'd ask you to state your name for the record.
My name is Ron Burson. I'm the director of the Board of Tax Records.
And for the benefit of the staff, Mr. Burson, could you spell your last name?
B as in boy, E-R-S-I-N.
Thank you very much. All right. Senator Representative Smith.
I was going to say, I have high, high, medium.
Likewise.
And high, high, and low, again, for the simple reason that there's 3 to 4 months, $216,000 in reserves that could be used to supplement those administrative costs.
And I had high, high, medium. And I think, Mr. Burson, you have had the benefit of listening to the discussion here, and that we would ask the same thing from you that was asked of the accountancy board, and that is to break down your line item 3, administration, into a more detailed programmatic level with the dollar amounts attached to it. And if you could also share with us those activities performed by your agency that are not performed by the Board of Accountancy, that would be very helpful. And if you would get that information back to the professional staff, they'll share it with the panel.
I'll get that to them right away.
Great. Senator Morissette, just to bring you up to speed, we have moved now from the Board of Accountancy. We would await your ratings, if you would be kind enough to share those with us for the record.
Well, I rated them basically the way they were rated here, 1, 2, 3, except in the in-house, reduction of computer consultants. I guess I would rate that as a 2, that whole category, the 2 board support. Okay,
so it would be fair to say high, high, and medium?
Yeah.
Okay. You are in the majority. By consensus, we're all high, high, and medium. Board of Tax Practitioners, I think we've all done those, and Senator Morissette, we would invite your ratings. The rest of the panel were high, high, and medium, awaiting more detail on the administration piece.
So you did high, high, and medium.
Yes, sir.
Well, I had high, medium, medium.
Okay, we'll record that. Thank you. Representative Smith.
Thank you. I'd be curious to know what the relationship, professional relationship, is between the accountancy and the tax practitioners in terms of getting along. On the surface, it makes sense. Hearing from what Senator Morris was saying, it makes sense to have one director. But then I start thinking about the cattlemen and the sheep growers. And on that hand, you couldn't have one.
They used to fight wars.
That's right.
Against you. They killed, spilled blood over that. I don't think the tax practitioners and accountants have gotten that close, have they?
Well, I don't know. And so maybe for round 2, you could also bring us in some history on why it makes sense to keep them separate. I'm struggling with this.
I think I'm going to exercise the prerogative of the chair and ask the staffs of the 2 boards to get together and perhaps develop a paper that speaks to the concerns of the board, the reasons to merge, the reasons not to merge, and what level of discussion you have had previously with respect to that issue. The other thing on behalf of the panel that I'm going to ask both to do, as long as the representative from the Board of Accountancy is still here, is that there's quite a disparity in your compliance costs. And I would be interested in knowing what fees you have outstanding with the AG in terms of forcing compliance.
Senator Johnson, just for clarification, are you asking me how much we're spending with the AG?
Yes, I am.
It's about $38,000 by annum.
And the Board of Accountancy, could you get that back to us as well? Okay, any additions from the panel on what we'd like to see in the little pro and con paper that we're asking the 2 agencies to put together? I'll be right back to you, Mr. Burson. Okay, Mr. Burson.
I just wanted to point out on that compliance, there's other costs other than the Department of Justice costs that we have there. We also have the administrative hearing officer panel. We have an investigator for the board, and there's costs with him going out. So there's more than just that.
Great. Then I think I would ask both of you to break down in your compliance programmatically, both program and cost. Okay.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to report back to the committee that I did in fact take your advice and had Ron as a guest on my radio show talking about the success of what they've been able to achieve in a short period of time by focusing on their core mission, which just underscores the effort that we're engaged in here today in terms of prioritization and the focus on those issues. You did a great job. And I have to tell you, I've received and continue to receive emails and comments from listeners about it's nice to hear a government agency moving in an efficient manner. And I took your advice. I tried to be very careful about that as a member of Ways and Means, as I pledged to the co-chairs. I would not divulge information while we're engaged in the process, but I did take your advice, and it's been very positive.
Two things. We'll note for the record that Representative Krupp actually took my advice on something. And secondly, to note for the record, you're in rather rarefied air, Mr. Burson, with regard to his show, being somebody serving the public who gets high marks. Senator Morissette.
Is that an unusual response for your program? The government is really doing something good?
It is. I must say. It is.
I'm a devoted listener, so I know the
answer. Good news does not sell.
Any other comments from the panel? Representative Aki, Mr. Burson.
I just had one more comment. Does everyone have a copy of this study? That was done.
Would you read us the title for those that forgot their spectacles?
Review of small agency, a small regulatory agencies. It was done by a legislative fiscal office, and we will include that in our report on the reasons for or against combining the agencies.
That would be great.
But this was the study that was done last biennium on combining these two agencies
by the
Legislative Audit Committee.
We'll all have copies.
Yes, thank you.
Great. Okay. Any other parting comments from Mr. Burson? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will now move on to the Construction Contractors Board. Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
Ask you to state your name for the record.
My name is Craig Smith. I'm administrator of the Construction Contractors Board. Good morning.
Good morning. Dallas.
Well, I'm sort of your cardboard analyst for this because Adrian handles it.
Fortuitously, Adrian is right behind you.
I didn't see her come in.
You're doing fine. We will trade a cardboard analyst for a real analyst.
Madam Chair, I have never thought of Dallas as being cardboard.
Miss Sexton to come up and join us.
Well, that's a new one.
He has much more personality than cardboard, I must say.
Watching and taking notes.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Do you have any comments that would edify our deliberations?
No, Madam Chair, I don't.
Thank you. Then we'll move right into the ranking or the questions, if any of the panel have questions.
Okay, one question. Consumer education outreach had a 32% of homeowners knew of their rights in the survey that you did. Your goal was 50%. I guess I'm wondering, and it seemed to be pretty steady, like between 20 and 32%, if you look over the previous years. I guess I'm wondering if you really think that 50% is achievable, and even if it is, if it's worth it, if it's worth additional resources.
It's a good question. Senator Johnson and Representative Babaki, and the question goes to several things. First off, I think that it does make a lot of sense to try to reach consumers and educate them as to what their rights are and what their responsibilities are when they engage in buying construction services, because I think it can prevent problems. And it can, when you prevent problems, you can also facilitate commerce. The issue as to whether or not we'll get to 50% is a good question. We were shooting in the dark a while back to try to pick targets. I can also tell you that one of the problems we've had over the last 2 or 3 years is a revenue problem. We had a problem with the license fees not providing sufficient funds to fund the budget as written. And so we cut back on consumer services, and we are not in that position today. We think that it's a good expenditure of money, and we would like to spend more money there. And I hope that you choose to do so.
Representative Smith.
I just want to share with the committee, most of these budgets we go through, I'm pretty concise in going through the numbers. On this one, I just want to let the group know, emotion almost takes over on this. I've had a very positive experiences with the Construction Contractors Board in terms of getting straight and forthright answers. Haven't always agreed with them. I've wanted different solutions. But they've shot straight, and they've told me when I was wrong, told me why I was wrong. I'd like to see what we can do to help these folks. And again, I acknowledge that's an emotional answer.
And so could one deduce from that emotional answer that you rated the programs as I, or have followed the agency rating?
That is, and I've also talked with my staff, and because they deal with these folks quite a bit as issues come up, and they've always been very good to deal with.
I had a question just in your display, and that is on item 3 and item 4, where you have dispute resolution, allegations of improper work, and then Office of Administrative Hearings, and then on number 4, enforcement, contractor discipline, and also the Office of Administrative Hearings. That is one office that you're referring these disputes to, not two. Is that not correct?
Senator Johnson, that's correct.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Morsett.
Well, I think the enforcement division should be ranked as a number 2 along with the consumer contractor education. I think that enforcement can't be emphasized enough. I think that's a very important function.
And so do you want to go through the rest of your rankings?
Well,
as long as
the rest are the same, except I would move enforcement up to the 2 level.
Okay.
And then I guess 5, I'm sorry, and then
ahead,
I guess 5 would be number 4. But.
Okay, let me just get this clear. Contractor licensing and customer service you'd have as 1?
Yes.
And then consumer education, both the outreach would be a 2.
Along with enforcement, contractor discipline, and Office of Administrative Hearings would both be a 2.
Okay. And admin would then be a 3.
Yes.
Okay. Representative Crump.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Two or three things, questions to ask. First of all, in Office of Administrative Hearings, why no information available in regards to FTE or positions there, given that there's a fair amount of money set aside, over $1 million for that, number one. Secondarily, I know we went through this in phase one. When we revisit this issue, I understand this is other funds, but for the purposes of semantics, when we revisit this issue during phase 3 national budget, why were there no cuts, into the administrative costs as a whole? And then under administrative services, because that is different from administration and information services, I would ask if we could, through the professional staff, provide a breakdown of the administrative services, precisely what it is that you're doing for spending $1 million with 6.63 FTE in that particular. And I would say, Madam Chair, I do take issue with the rankings along the lines of Senator Moore said. I rank contractor licensing customer service as high, and number 1 in terms of a department priority. I have moved dispute resolution to number 2 in my mind, and I rank that also very high. And the reason I do that is because my experience has been in listening to my constituents and various complaints over the years that the ability to facilitate dispute resolution between contractors and the people they contract with, our constituents, you will always have dispute, irrespective of how much education you have going on. And I believe that education, both consumer and contractor, is very important, but I rank it a little bit lower. And the reason I do that is because I believe that you will always have some dispute going on there. And the importance of resolving those disputes as quickly as possible and satisfactorily as impossible, I rank that higher. Just because you will always have it, no matter how good your education is, because people are people, and people miscommunicate, contractors, and, you know, if we start a sentence with Senator Morissette and whisper it in each other's ear, by the time it gets to Representative Avakian, it's markedly different. And that's just because we hear different things and we interpret it. And I think you will always have those miscommunication issues. And I moved number three in terms of priority to enforcement. Instead of being number four as the agency ranked it, and I'm having difficulty with this. I'm vacillating between ranking that as high or a medium priority. Once you do recognize that you have contractors who are acting improperly, you do need to discipline them or take remedial action. And I think that ought to be number three in terms of the agency's priorities. And I think it's, again, I vacillate between high and medium in regards to that. Education, I view as medium in both in consumer and contractor. And then I rank lower priority in CCB administration. And again, I have some misgivings about doing that because as a whole, there are 14 FTE in there and well over $2.4, almost $2.5 million associated with that in terms of dollars. So those are my rankings, Madam Chair. All of the CCB administration I rank as lower, those are my reasonings for deciding to rank and prioritize differently.
Thank you very much. Does anyone else want to offer, or should I start picking names? Senator Morris.
Well, I look at this activity as a unit and as a whole, and I don't think it's possible to break apart part of it and say we can do with less of this or more of that. It's kind of a system. You know, the licensing, the education, the dispute resolution, and enforcement, all of those things have to be present in order to have an effective regulatory function. And so I rank all of those as high, and then just by virtue of I know it's hard to have those programs delivered without administration, but I put administration as a medium. But if you look at the performance measurements, you know, there's some things kind of that look like in terms of enforcement, recidivism, claims that are open that are not getting closed, that we need to be focusing on how do we beef up and make it more effective, as opposed to saying we're going to reduce. So that's kind of where I come from.
I'll jump in here and say for exactly the same reasons I was high, medium. Senator, Representative Smith.
I'm the liberal in the group. I went high across the board.
I'd like a vote on that, Madam.
On this issue. Senator Morris, I see this completely as a system, and the administration, I kept it a high because I felt that in order to achieve the success of the other areas, they need to have the administration intact. So.
Senator Morissette.
That's right. I've already given you that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
I think I'm the one remaining. Mine were the same as yours, Madam Chair. But I agree, it's a package. And any one, even if you decrease the administration, then the rest will suffer. But the reason I decreased them, and I just want to make sure all of our reasoning is consistent in how we're picking these, the reason that I decreased them was because they have 6 months in reserves, and that if we were going to compare one against the other within this list, that would be the one I would choose to decrease, thereby forcing the agency to dip into its reserve accounts in order to beef those numbers up again, which is what I would hope they do so that the administration didn't suffer.
Thank you. I would just add that I have shared with Co-Chair Schrader a list of performance measures that Senator Morris and I have passed notes back and forth on over the course of the time that we spend sitting together in two ways and means subs to try to develop a set of what I'm referring to as business performance measures, and one of those includes ongoing reserves, so that we can see in agencies from one year to the next such things as management to staffing ratio or management to staff ratios, amount in reserves, amount of receivables and delinquent accounts, and that those would be standardized business performance measures that would move with every agency. And the fact that you've raised reserves now several times during our discussion, I think, is very useful, and it's something that I think would edify the legislature's deliberation on the budgets session to session. So thank you for bringing that up this morning.
May I ask one question about that? I appreciate you making those comments. I'm not sure that all of the subcommittees will be analyzing how they do their rankings in the way that I outlined, since I'm factoring in reserves and how I would do the rankings. And I want to make sure that our committee or me throwing that into the mix doesn't skew our findings relative to other committees.
Thank you very much for that comment. I would only share that I think, given the consistency of our ranking this morning with some noted exceptions, I would augur against it skewing the outcome. I mean, the fact that we've tested against each other and we're largely in agreement is indicative to me that it hasn't skewed it. Senator, Representative Smith. Somebody sent me a note this morning that said Senator Smith, and I keep looking at it.
I just want to point out for round two, what's going to be my hot button issue on this is making sure that in your consumer education and contractor education that you have a very traceable link to the small business community in terms of how you're working with them to get the message out. And you want to come by one day, I'll expound on ideas I have, but that's going to be my hot button issue in round two.
Good, and I have noted Ms. Sexton noting your comments. So. Senator Morris.
Madam Chair, one thing just dawned on me. You know, we hear these agencies that have independent boards, but nowhere in this process do we hear from the board in terms of a formal report as to what their insights would be on improvements as they see it. I mean, they presumably are much more informed than we are about what goes on, having had the history of looking at issues. Presumably, hopefully, they're looking at performance measurements as well. And just as a note and a thought to the co-chairs for future processes, would be to ask for a formal board recommendation for improvements, opportunities for improvement.
Without objection from the board, I would like to exercise the prerogative of the chair and ask you to carry that forward to the co-chairs. The reason that I think this is such a good idea is it's one more sort of management check to make sure that the staff at the agencies are performing up to the expectations of the boards. It also, as you said it, caused me to reflect on a conversation that I had had with a commission member of one of the other budgets that we're hearing, and the commission was not well informed. The fact that there had been some accounting irregularities and the commission was not completely up to speed. I think having some kind of board letter or acknowledgement that they had been completely versed in all of the financial aspects of the agency and they all certify to that and send it forward in the form of a letter not only is just good business practice, but it also, I think, gives an added depth of responsibility to the board that they are attesting by their signature to their knowledge of the financial condition of the agency. I think it adds a certain solemnity to service on one of those boards, and while we're deeply appreciative of Oregonians stepping forward to advise state agencies and commissions, and I don't want to dissuade anyone from accepting that responsibility, I think that it would be important to have the boards and commissions weigh in some formalized manner that they had reviewed the finances of the agency and the management of the agency and approved of it as their agency budget came forward. That is a great idea.
Madam Chair, I absolutely concur. I think it's an outstanding idea, Senator, and you know, I back it wholeheartedly. I think it's very important that we close the loop, as it were, by including their participation.
Madam Chair, Senator Schrader and I have a Senate Bill 471, and it deals with continuous improvement and a requirement that agencies bring forward their opportunities for improvement as a part of, that they bring to us rather than us trying to figure out how we can help them initiate. That's the way I do my business. It might be that we could amend that bill and have a formal reporting process by the board as well that, as you say, closes this loop of information.
Well, for whatever it's worth, one legislator's opinion, I would very much like to see that happen so that in the front of each agency briefing book, there is the certification from the commission or board advising the agency that they have certain standards of review of their financial condition and their agency administrative practices.
You're a rebel.
I think it's a
great
idea.
With or without a cost.
Very good.
Senator Morsette.
Well, I'm
wonderful idea.
Kind of surprised and maybe curious about to what extent boards are doing this now. To what extent is your board involved in the presentation that was here?
Senator Johnson and Senator Morsette, traditionally we will have the chair at the presentation. A couple of weeks ago we had a conflict with the chair, couldn't be here. If the question also goes to how informed are they of the financial matters of the agency? Am I hearing that? The response would be we do meet 10 times a year at the Construction Contractors Board. Every meeting to begin with is an analysis of our financial situation, revenue, budget, that sort of thing.
Madam Chair.
Please continue.
Thank you. I guess I was thinking, I understand that, and that's good to hear. I would expect that. I'm interested in the prioritization, perhaps the whole presentation that you're making. The performance measures, do you talk about that at board meetings?
Senator Johnson, Senator Morsette, yes, we do. We don't talk about performance measures every meeting. Try to talk about it at least once a quarter. And I present to the board at least twice a year the full results and analysis of the performance measures, and we do discuss them.
Thank you very much. Any other comments about this particular agency? Thank you very much for being here to help us with this deliberation. And I think we have no longer any need for you to stay with us, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any other comments, professional staff?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just wanted to respond to Representative Krupp's question. I think we might be able to answer that. In terms of the Office of Administrative Hearings, both for the dispute resolution and the enforcement activities of the Construction Contractors Board, the Office of Administrative Hearings has been set up as an independent location for most contested case hearings to be sent. The Construction Contractors Board actually gave up three positions to OAH when it was initially created in 1999, and now funds their portion, if you will, of the workload at the centralized hearing panel. And so the expenditures that are shown here are a fee for service in essence.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, not only did we get through our four agencies, but we got through them expeditiously. Any other comments? All right. Well,
Madam Chair, I've really enjoyed this, actually. Again, the years I've been in the legislature now, same time that many of us have here. It's the first time I've engaged in this process, and I like the discussion. I think it's very helpful that each one of us bring a unique perspective, and I've gained a lot from listening to the comments of all of us. And I would hope that we're laying the groundwork for a protocol for many years to come in this legislative body. This is a very good discussion.
Good. I'm sure the co-chairs would both be very pleased to hear that comment, because we're in uncharted waters. And just for the benefit of the committee, last night as I returned home and turned on the television to listen to the news, Channel 6 was announcing that all of the budgets for all of the state agencies would be decided this week. And so I
works for me.
I shared that with Co-Chair Schrader when I heard it, simply because it was a little alarming to me, given that there has not been a very public process up to this point, and I know the co-chairs are committed to having public input. So I just wanted to share with you what I had heard. Ken Boddy announced it on Channel 6, and it certainly left the impression that we would be completing our Ways and Means work by Friday of this week. So if any of you get constituent calls querying you about that, the genesis is Channel 6. Adrian is slumping into cardiac arrest.
Most likely our esteem in the public's eyes just elevated.
Well, unless there are any other comments from the panel, I am going to close the public hearing on House Bill 5071, the Treasurer of the State of Oregon, House Bill 5001, the Board of Accountancy.